A reading from Jeremiah. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, you that enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings and let me dwell with you in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly act justly one with another, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will dwell with you in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your ancestors forever and ever. Here you are, trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are safe, only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? You know I, too, am watching, says the Lord. Holy wisdom, holy word. The second reading is from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus came out of the temple and was going away, his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. Then he asked them, you see all these, do you not? Truly, I tell you, not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. Beloved, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the risen Christ. Alleluia. Amen. Will you please pray with me? Gracious God, teach us, your church, not the building, but the people, a new way to love one another. Amen. So a little story. This was like 25 years ago. You know, I am 50 years old. And 25 years ago, when I was in college, we had something called Thursday night communion, which might sound like an evening vespers that started at 7 p.m., but no, it was at 10 p.m. when it got started. Well, that's because at 50, you can't stay up past 10 p.m. And as 20-year-olds, you can, right? But anyway, this 10 p.m. Wednesday night or Thursday night service, we would gather, and there would always be Holy Communion and prayer. And then the pastor, the chaplain of the school, would ask a question. And one night, her question was this: if you could change anything in the world, what would it be? Some people were really quick to answer, to end things like domestic violence or war, or to end hunger, that people would have clean water, all those good things we hope for in life, for all people. But then the pastor read this from these words of Jeremiah. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people who worship God. Reform your ways and amend your actions. Those are the words you heard from Jeremiah. They're kind of harsh. Reform your ways and amend your actions. Now, I'm one of those people who didn't answer right away because I liked philosophy and theology and all those kind of things that make you think. But I'm not a quick-witted person, so I have to think about things. Anybody else like that? Like, I have to give things thought and see the connections, let the neurons do their work in my brain. So in responding to my pastor's question, if you could change anything in the world, what would it be? And in response to Jeremiah, here's what my answer was at 20. I kind of said it like this in a small, creaky voice. I was like, hearts? I would ask that there would be a change in people's hearts. To which she goes, Heather, do you think you want to be a pastor? The more I thought about this, that their hearts, then, the people in the pew, would be about true worship. True worship is about devotion to God, faithfulness to God, repentance to God. That people wouldn't see church as a museum that holds all these relics, but that it was about a sense of people who belong to one another, whose love could be so great that their hearts would just be bursting with God's love. So I answered it with this question. If the people in the pews, like, really loved, would their hearts be changed and turned back to God every week, that that's what they practice? Could then the other things be eliminated? If our hearts were in the right place and we bounded together as the church, would there be world hunger? Would there be war? If our hearts really loved faithfully all the time, would our actions then be amended and our ways reformed? This chapter in Jeremiah talks about, is labeled this, false religion is worthless. That's what it's called in some Bibles, the chapter. Some of them also call it the temple sermon from Jeremiah. It's the second most famous sermon from the Bible. It's repeated again in chapter 26. I've said this before, but anything that's repeated in the Bible is worth paying attention to. There's another thing that repeats in this sermon, and that is this. God says, without this changing of your ways, meaning no more lying, cheating, stealing, and amending your heart to love, you're nothing but a den of robbers. Jesus says the same words when he cleanses the temple in John 2. You've turned my Father's house into a den of robbers. I think this is something, Jeremiah's words and Jesus' words are 500 or 600 years apart. And it was like nothing had changed. But here's the beautiful thing about God, and we are not God. The beautiful thing about God is God never gave up. Never gave another chance. God is always about second chances over and over again for the people. God doesn't want to bring judgment on Judah, which is the second part, the southern part of Israel. God's offering the people here another chance to reform their ways and amend their doings. So what does that look like for us, for the people then and the people now? What does false worship look like? I tell you these things not to make you feel bad, but just to catch your actions, to capture your attention on how easy it is to do, because I've done all these. We all do. We're human, and God knows that about us. But here's one. Sometimes we say to God, God, I went to church this week. Isn't that enough? Check the box. Well, in this story for today, remember that the people thought going to the temple, checking the box, was also enough. But Jeremiah stands up just like I do before you today to heed his words. Or what about this? This is another one we tell ourselves. I'm baptized. That's God's yes to me. And guess what? I was confirmed too, and that's my yes to God. But did you know and do you remember that in that baptism to children or in your affirmation to baptism, if you did that, comes with a set of promises. Not only will you go to church and be faithful, but that you will strive daily in faith to be about peace and justice in this world. Baptism is not a catch-all. It's not a golden parachute for us. It's God's proclamation to us with a set of promises to live those out in our daily lives. Here's another one that I say. God, yes, I believe in you. And to say that publicly, I believe in God, these days is quite profound and sometimes hard. But don't forget this, that Jesus cast out demons in the New Testament, and even the demons say, I believe in God. But that doesn't make them good. That does not make them reform their ways and amend their actions. You see, we come to church just as the people went to the temple. They stood shoulder to shoulder praising God, and that's all good. But it's what they did when they left, or when they mingled in the temple courts, which we would know as the narthex. And they began to talk about one another. They began to exclude those who might be new to the community. They didn't put God first. To love God, love people. And that's what Jeremiah is trying to tell you here. That what you're doing right now is a beautiful thing. But when you leave, you don't coat check your faith at the door. It follows you out. God, it matters to God how you live your life. It matters to God and what you say and do. And it matters to God that you know you're loved, because that's how you're able to love. Jeremiah tells us what that love, who that love should be for. The love of the stranger or the visitor, the love of the orphan or the childless or the homeless, love of the widow or the widower or the lonely. And then the last one, the hardest one, I think, for us all, to not go after other gods such as the god of power or the god of money, but instead to use your power, to use your money to lift others up. Real worship is devotion to God. It's a lifelong process. And here's the best part. You get to start over every day. Every day is a new day to wake up, to put your feet on the floor and say, thank you, God, for this day. Send me out in love. What if you did that for a week? Challenge yourself when your feet hit the floor to say, thank you, God. Help me to love. Okay, maybe you need a cup of coffee first. But what if you started your day with that? Beloved, the point is this, that all God really desires from you is your heart. A heart that's willing to amend your ways, to reform your doings. A heart that is willing to love, or to try to love. Amen.